Please take your Bible, open to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 8, and I'll be reading verses 26 through 40. And out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Acts chapter 8, beginning of verse 26. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert road. So he got up and went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and a high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. The Spirit told Philip, "Go and join that chariot." When Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "How can I," he said, "unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." The eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else?" Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. As they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, "Look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized?" So he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared at Azotus, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. You may be seated. Sunday, we were looking at the previous verses, chapter 9 through 25, and we see the situation. Philip was preaching in a town in Samaria. There was great reception of the message of Jesus Christ. People were being baptized. They were believing the message that Philip was sharing with them. Great revival, if you will, is going on in that town in Samaria. There was a guy in that town named Simon. Simon the magician, or some call it Simon Magus, just a Latinized version of the magician. And he was one that had amazed the people in town for a long time because he did all his magic tricks, and they said, "This is the guy that has the great power from God. He's the guy that speaks for God. Let's listen to him." Well, when Philip came, people listened to Philip. They believed what Philip was saying was the truth. Even Simon agreed, "That's the truth, what Philip is saying." And so he followed Philip around all the way. Well, in Jerusalem, they heard about a revival in Samaria. Now, most of the Jewish people did not like the Samaritans. They were outcasts. They were half-breeds. There was a lot of prejudice between those that were of pure Jewish blood and those that were of half-Jewish blood, the Samaritans. So much so that a good Jew would avoid even taking a step or even getting some of the dust of Samaria on them. Well, they heard that Samaritans were receiving the message of Jesus Christ. So they sent some people to investigate, Peter and John, two of the apostles. So they went straightway down to that town, and they saw that they'd received the Holy Spirit. That they received the message and had yet to receive the Holy Spirit. So they placed their hands on him, and those in Samaria received the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit had been given to at Pentecost to the Jewish believers. Now it was given to the half-Jewish believers, the half-breeds, the Samaritans. And it was witnessed by two of the apostles. So they could see the Samaritans received the same Spirit that they had received, the Jewish believers had received at Pentecost. Later on, we're going to see when Peter is present, someone that has no Jewish blood at all received the Holy Spirit. After that point, everybody receives the Holy Spirit when they become a Christian. But it was necessary at that time to show God is approving of the Jewish believers that are following Jesus. God is approving of the Samaritans that are following Jesus. And God is approving of everybody that follows Jesus. Well, Simon saw the Holy Spirit was given at laying on hands. He said, hey, let me buy this so that anybody I touch can get the Holy Spirit. Peter says, may your money die with you. Said, you're poisoned. You're bitter. And Simon says, don't let that happen to me. Pray that I won't receive the punishment you just talked about. The early church fathers later tell us that this Simon was one of the leaders that started the cult of Gnosticism, which said that basically Jesus didn't really exist. He was just a hologram. That would be our term, not theirs. But he was just appeared to be here. So he didn't really die on the cross. It's just his hologram died on the cross. Because part of the teaching of Gnosticism, nothing good can have flesh. And so if Jesus had flesh and blood, he couldn't be good. So he had to be just a spirit that appeared to have flesh and blood. Well, that was a false teaching that led many astray. Simon, we see, was corrected by Peter. Now remember, Peter and John had heard that Samaritans were getting saved. They went straight from Jerusalem to that town of Samaria. But on their way back, it says, they began preaching in all the towns and villages of Samaria on their way back. They weren't doing that on the way there. But once they said God saw that God approved the Samaritans, they began preaching to the Samaritans. Now, revivals going on in this city in Samaria. Philip, who is described as the evangelist, and actually we're going to see him a little bit later in chapter 20 of the book of Acts. He gets a message. You know that revival that's going on? It's time for you to go to the middle of nowhere. Go down to Gaza, the one in the desert. Now, that's important because there were two Gazas. The old Gaza was destroyed at 93 BC. And it was rebuilt closer to the Mediterranean in 57 BC. So you had the old Gaza and a road that led there and the new Gaza. Just like if your house was destroyed and you had an opportunity to build closer to the beach, where would you choose? Now, Lana says, on the beach. Yeah. But some of us understand that on the beach is not necessarily the best place to be when a storm comes in. Now, although when I was growing up and hurricanes came in, there were people running out to the beach with their surfboards. That's the only time you got good waves where I grew up. It's, the beaches are beautiful all the time, but the waves are not that much. And well, Galveston, if you ever notice, sometimes there's people surfing behind the tankers that are coming in and going out, because that's the kind of waves you got where I grew up. Normally, just that little, like the wake of a tanker. Now, if you're going to surf behind tankers, go behind the ones that are down to the plimsoll line, because they make the bigger waves. And you go plimsoll line. Okay, if you've ever seen on a ship, you know, the bottom half of it's one color and the top of it's another. Well, that little line is called the plimsoll line. And the plimsoll line is, this is the perfect full level. If you go too deep, your ship might sink in bad weather. If you go a lot higher, it's going to be real tipsy. Well, the one in plimsoll line, there's more of it underwater, and so it's going to make bigger waves. But I don't know anybody that I'm speaking to right now that surfs, but if you want to take it up, there's your line. Well, Philip was told, go down to the desert road, to the city that was destroyed over 100 years ago. Now, Philip didn't go, well, wait a minute. I'm in the middle of a revival. What are they going to do without me? Well, it's not Philip that brought the revival. It was God that brought the revival. Philip just spoke the message. So what did Philip do? He followed the directions. Now, those of you that had children might have told your children something like this. Go clean your room. And if you had children, like most people have children, a little bit later, the room was not clean. But Philip, if you will, cleaned his room. He followed the directions. The first set of instructions is go to the road in the desert. That was it. It wasn't, God didn't tell him what's going to happen when he get there. Go to the road in the desert. Sometimes we're in the same situation. God tells us to do something. Well, tell me what's going to happen in the next step. God said, do step one first. You do step one, and then after step one is completed, we'll do step two. But I'm not going to do step one until you tell me what step two is. God doesn't work that way. We need to follow one step at a time. Remember, God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the word there is enough light to take one step. How much light does one candle give off? Not a lot, like some of these people have their headlights tuned to, that are always following me. They like those million candle power headlights right in my rear window. It's bad enough that my rear window is about headlight level, but they have those bright lights. But God's light's not that way. It's enough to take one step. And Philip took that first step. And then, when Philip got there, he heard someone reading from Isaiah. God had someone ready on the desert road to hear Philip's message. There was a divine appointment. And that divine appointment was someone that was ready. He had a prepared heart. He had just come from worshiping at the in Jerusalem. Now, being a eunuch, he was not allowed to go into the temple. But he was studying Isaiah. And interesting, Isaiah, it talks in a part about the millennial kingdom. It says, and eunuchs will have a special blessing in the millennial kingdom. It'll be better than having lots of kids. Well, I am looking for Dr. Seuss books. And so if I go to a garage sale, and Lana's going to one soon, and see a Dr. Seuss book that I don't have, I'm ready to buy it. Also, when Lana goes to those garage sales, or maybe even Tommy too, and they see a Jerry Garcia tie, they're ready to buy them. Because Jerry Garcia makes some neat ties. You don't have to go, you know, what is this thing? You know what it is. And you can spot it. And you see that little, what is it? Like that. Yeah, his little symbol, because he doesn't have a full finger there. And so you don't go, I wonder if I want to get this tie. No. You're ready to buy a Jerry Garcia tie if you don't have that one. Or ready to buy that Dr. Seuss book if you don't have that one. Well, this eunuch was ready to hear more of the message of Isaiah. And he was reading from a passage that the rabbis didn't quite understand. There was a lot of debate. Just like the eunuch asked Philip, who is this guy talking about? Is Isaiah talking about himself or someone else? That was the same debate that was going on among the rabbis. Some of them thought Isaiah was talking about himself. Others thought he was talking about Israel. And others said, we're not sure who Isaiah is talking about. So, Philip gets some new instructions. He has followed step one, followed instruction one, and now God says, go run up next to that chariot. And so he does. And then he asks the question, who's on first? No, that is not what he asked. Although, that's a question I ask my students, and they go, what? I go, second base. What are you talking about? That? What's on second? Now, if some of us know about that story. Well, I tell my students, if you have any question, please ask. There's only one dumb question. That's the one you don't ask. Because they always say, it's a dumb question. No, there's no dumb question if you ask it. Ask the question and get it answered. When I was in seminary, I was a little bit older than a lot of the other students there. Those professors were giving out information, and I had questions. So I would ask the questions. And I'd hear from other students, because they had the same question. They were just afraid to ask, because that professor had enough degrees to be a thermometer. But he didn't know what our questions were until we asked. God does. So what does Philip do? Do you understand what you're reading? And the man with the prepared heart says, how can I unless somebody teaches me? And so Philip begins explaining from that passage right there that Jesus is the Messiah. And the eunuch makes a decision. There's a commercial I saw on TV for this truck. And it starts starts out 10-speed automatic transmission. And then it flashes through a whole bunch of other things. And then at the end, the voiceover says, you had me at 10-speed transmission. Well, it's talking about that guy was ready to buy that truck as soon as he understood about that special transmission in that truck. Well, the eunuch was ready to make a decision. He had heard everything he needed to hear. He understood Jesus was the Messiah. And he says, here's some water. What can prevent me from being baptized? Now, verse 37, it might be in the footnotes or it might have in italics or something like that. Verse 37 is only in the newest manuscripts. It's not in the original manuscripts, the oldest manuscripts we have, but it says, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, that's in the newer manuscript. The newer manuscripts we're talking about 300, 400 AD, not the manuscripts 100, 200 AD. So the ones closest to the events don't have this verse. The old, the later ones do. But it doesn't change anything with the meaning, having it there or having it not. The eunuch had made his decision. And then we have the beam me up, Scotty moment. Look at verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Suddenly, Philip disappeared. He was teleported. Now, this is not the first reference to being teleported in the Bible. Elijah told Elisha that God might teleport me when you're following me. Because Elisha said, I want to stay right with you. He said, well, God might move me, might whisk me away. And other places, Scripture talks about that they said, where did that person go? Well, the Spirit of God might have, didn't use the word teleport, that's one of our words, might have whisked him away, moved him to another place. Well, is Philip surprised? No. No indication of Philip's surprise that God can do whatever he wants to do. And suddenly, Philip appears at Azotus, which is, okay, if this is Israel, Jerusalem's here, Gaza's down here, that's where he was talking to the eunuch, it's right here. And then he starts from here and goes down to the beach at Caesarea. And what is he doing? He's not going around going, wow, I was just teleported. No, he's telling people all along the way about Jesus. And in chapter 21, verse 8, still in Acts, go there. I said chapter 20 earlier, but it's 21. Verse 8. The next day we left and came to Caesarea, where we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. 20 years later, Philip is still in Caesarea. That's his home base. Now, some evangelists just work on one city. Others go all over the place. Philip did both. Now, we're going to see a little bit later. Peter gets a message. Someone from Caesarea wants to see him. That's the Gentile that I was talking about. Why did this Gentile in Caesarea send for Peter? Well, God told him to, but why is he wanting to hear? Because there had been an evangelist in town named Philip. We don't know, and we're not told about what interaction there was between Cornelius and Philip, but for sure he knew about him because when we look at the description of Cornelius, he was known by the Jewish believers as a godly man. Well, what can we learn from today's passage? God gives us instructions. We need to follow each step, not demanding that God gives us step two before we follow step one, because God has the plan laid out. God has divine appointments for us. And when we do step one, then we'll get step two. And we don't know when or where. In our wisdom, it might not look good. Why would you leave a big revival to go to the middle of the desert? Because God says to. God didn't tell Philip, I got somebody there you need to talk to. God knew he had somebody there that Philip, he wanted Philip to talk to. Someone that God had been working on that person's heart. Someone that was excluded from the temple, but still wanted to serve the true God. Someone that was looking for God's promises. Someone that was studying to see what God had to say. He had questions, and Philip brought the answers. And there was a decision made. And it changed the life of this eunuch. So much so that he didn't go, wow, that person just disappeared. No. He went home rejoicing because he'd found the answer that he'd been looking for. There are a lot of people that don't want to hear the message. But God has people prepared that want to hear the message. Our job is just keep telling people till we find the ones that are ready to hear. And sometimes it works out. Those that didn't want to hear, maybe a little bit later they want to hear. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, thank you for the time we could be here to worship you. I pray that you are honored in everything we do. I pray that we follow you each step that you direct us. In Jesus' name.